Okay, today is the 1st of February 2009. Hard to believe we're in 2009. I've said many times I can remember when I was a kid back and we'd have to write the year down on our papers at school. And I remember writing down on the papers at school 1964. 1963, of course, is when John F. Kennedy was killed, assassinated. 63, 73, 83, 93, 2003, 2009. Can you believe that? 46 years ago. My goodness. Well, tonight we are going to do a discussion entitled, Should I Be Worshiping in the Reformed Church Movement? Should I be worshiping in the Reformed Church Movement? Of course, I'll give our audience three guesses, and the first two don't count as to who came up with that title. Okay. And his first name, I'll give you a hint. His first name is one of the books of the Bible. Okay. Anyway. And also, his first name goes something like this. On your get set, go. No, anyway. Just trying to be funny. I'm a little tired today. One of the hot water heaters went out and we have a rental house, and it was not a very fun day, but I'm still laughing. So, should I be worshiping in a Reformed movement? Should I be worshiping in the Reformed Church movement? Well, obviously, let me ask Mark some questions now. Oops, I just gave it away, didn't I? Do you think you should be worshiping in a Reformed Church movement?
Yes.
You do? Oh, shame on you. I thought I'd trained you better than that. Why do you think that?
Because I don't want to be Reformed.
Do you want to be Reformed? What do you want to be Reformed from?
From sin.
Reformed from sin. You want to be reformed from sin, or you want to be saved from sin?
I'm saved from sin too.
Yeah. Well, if I had a choice, which I don't, if I had a choice, I'd much rather be saved from my sins than reformed from my sins. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference, because being saved from my sin means that I would have a sin bearer. Someone that took my sins upon themselves, and not just, you know, kind of. Every time I hear the word reform, you know what I think of?
What?
I think of the 12-step program. Mm-hmm. Alcoholic wants to get reformed from his alcoholism, so he goes through these 12 steps to try to not take alcohol again. But the thing about being saved from our sins is that Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself. He said, Isaiah said in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, I'm looking for my sin bearer. You're looking for reformation. I want the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. When I come to stand before Jesus Christ, only will I look at him. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I'm not going to stand before God and say, well, but I reformed myself. I reformed myself. I didn't sin. I was a pretty moral, I was a pretty good moral guy. I didn't curse. I didn't steal. Wait a minute. wait a minute, we're going down the wrong path there, because Jesus Christ said he came to save his people from their sins. When he was hanging on the cross, what did he say?
It is finished.
It is finished. No further reformation. No more wafer cookies. No more praying to the rosary. I hope you've never prayed the rosary, but if you have, and you've come to the understanding that it was sin to pray to Mary, or praying to patron saints, or confessing your sins to a priest, or trying to seek your own reformation apart from the Holy Spirit of God. So when someone asks me, should they be worshiping in a Reformed church movement, I would say, wouldn't it be better to be worshiping God rather than be worshiping in a movement? The Old Testament, we find that the prophets prophesied of this one that was to come, to take away the sins and to be a light to the Gentiles. And we see in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, that the angel came and John fell down before the angel, and the angel said, don't do that. Don't do that. Worship God. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and wisdom and might. And the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, we should not be worshiping in a movement. We should be worshiping Jesus Christ, who's the King and King and Lord of Lords. A lot of people are worshiping in a movement. A lot of people are worshiping in a denomination. I've often said denomination. All you'd have to change that around is one word and it'd make it demonination. Demonation. Many people are worshiping a denomination. They're worshiping a church movement. That's why they call some of the people that started these denominations divines. The Bible says, call no man master, call no man Lord. Now, he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of such as some is. But he also says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them. And he says that there will come a time when they will not worship in a church made with hands, in a temple made with hands. Those that worship me must worship me in spirit and what?
Truth.
And in truth. Now, it's true that the Reformed Church movement has a lot of good doctrinal things. They teach good doctrinal teachings, like the doctrine of TULIP, for example, total depravity, unmerited, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and final perseverance of the saints. However, they also teach a lot of wrong things. Things like the infant baptism. Jesus Christ wasn't baptized as an infant, so why would we go sprinkle water on babies? The doctrine of sprinkling, where's that come from? The Bible doesn't teach sprinkling, it teaches immersion. They went down into the water, a large body of water. Baptizo means to immerse into the water, not to take a little water and sprinkle it on somebody's head. Baptizo. The Reformed movement also oftentimes puts more emphasis on the doctrine of election than on the doctrine of justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, faith is not a work. Faith is a gift of God. not of works, lest any man should boast. A balance in our doctrine is a balance in our lives. A balance in our theological interpretation of Scripture is a balance in the way we live out our lives. Scripture says that He was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus Christ came in time. He came to this. He says that there is a song that says, out of the what?
Ivory palaces.
Out of the ivory palaces. He came as a suffering servant, and He's coming back as a ruling, conquering king. And so your question, should I be worshiping in the Reformed Church movement? Think about that. Should I be worshiping in the Reformed Church movement? There's a lot of people that have Reformed over their door. Do you know that Robert Schuller was brought up in the Reformed movement?
Yeah.
Do you know that the Presbyterian Church of America, PCA, calls themselves Reformed? Do you know the Presbyterian Church of the United States calls himself Reformed, and now they are ordaining women and homosexuals?
Mm-hmm.
Should you be worshiping in that movement?
No.
But they call themselves Reformed. Do you know that there are many, many movements now that call themselves Reformed, but you know J.I. Packer wrote a book called Knowing God, and he called himself Reformed. And you know now J.I. Packer is advocating ECLA, which is the Evangelicals and Catholics Together. You know that?
No.
Yeah. So we can't make these broad sweeping generalities about certain movements that have a Reformed over their door. Now, some of the old Reformed people, I'm sure their heart, their motivation, and their intentions were correct. They had this thing called the regulative principle of worship. And they were into exclusive what?
Worship.
Exclusive what? What'd they call it, though? What, when they were singing? Psalmody.
Mm-hmm.
Exclusive psalmody. They sang only the psalms. Does the Bible say to sing only the psalms?
No.
What does it say? Psalms,
hymns, spiritual songs.
Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody to your heart to God. Now, I know the interpretation about no instruments, and I know that today many of the denominations have gotten way off track with their rock bands in their church and their pull-down screens and their praise and worship services and all that. But yet, it's hard for me to read through the Psalms and see all the different musical instruments that David worshiped with and then be condemnatory of those who are praising God with instruments. And people say, well, there's no evidence in the New Testament church that they use instruments. Well, I know that it's in the New Testament, it says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to God. Now, the Reform movement also often puts an overemphasis on education. Education. You know, they require their ministers to go through seminary. In other words, you can't really preach the gospel till you have died and gone to the cemetery and buried in the cemetery. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but that's true. How many cemeterians have we heard from the Reform movement brag about their education? Well, I went to Calvin College. By the way, Calvin College is now, some of their professors the new Van Til there, not Cornelius Van Til, the old guy, but the new Van Til is now promoting evolution there. Darwinism. And but a lot of these seminaries that are promoting and calling themselves Reformed are the furthest thing away from the Bible. Many of them are denying the virgin birth. I already stated many of them are ordaining homosexuals and ordaining women. Many of these churches now are denying the scripture and affirming doctrines that are not in the Bible, like doctrines of common grace. They said, well, but the Bible says that he reigns on the just and the unjust. What does that have to do with grace? Grace is the most uncommon thing there is. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's not common. And grace is particular. It's effectual for whom Christ died. And the Reformed movement at large, by and large, has gotten away from teaching that. The Reformed movement also has gotten away from preaching against sin and the judgment and wrath of God upon a nation that is condoning homosexuality. The Reformed movement is so wrapped up in its sessions and synods. And the government of the Reformed Church is not a biblical government. The New Testament Church that is taught in the New Testament government is a local government, an independent body of believers, not driven by some big synods and big sessions and big people at the top dictating to the people down below how they should conduct their lives according to the Bible. No. That's what happened with the Roman Catholic Church during the Dark Ages. The larger churches started trying to dictate to the smaller churches how they should conduct their affairs in their little churches, and pretty soon we had what we call the Great Inquisition, and we had the Roman Catholic Church, that whore church, persecute those Anabaptists that never went into Rome in the first place, and those like John Calvin and many of the other quote reformers persecuted the Anabaptists. And so the Arnoldists, the Lollards, and the Donatists, many of those who never went into Rome, so they weren't people from the Reformation because they were old Baptists, were persecuted by the Catholics and the Reformed people. They drowned them and they did all kind of things to them. So your question is, should you be worshiping in the Reformed Church movement? I would say adamantly and unequivocally, without reserve, no, no, no. You should be worshiping amongst a small group of believers who believe the Bible and do not uphold infant baptism, who do not uphold synods and sessions and secular education and ordaining women and homosexuals, and calling their leaders divines and sprinkling water on babies' heads. Rather, worship in a church that holds to the tenets of the Bible and teaches predestination, election, justification by faith, and teaches infant baptism, and teaches singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to your heart to God, and believes in this local government of the church, that it's an independent body of believers and is not driven by some big hierarchy mandating to those at the lower levels what they have to do. That's my opinion, but I believe it's a biblical perspective on this matter. And our allegiance should only be to Jesus Christ and not to some movement. So that's my thinking on the matter. And I would highly recommend that you think on these things that we have mentioned today. Now, as we wind this discussion down, do you understand the distinctions that I've talked about?
Yes.
Again, I'm going to recap. One, Larry Phillips does not believe it's biblical to baptize infants. Larry Phillips does not believe it's biblical to sprinkle. Larry Phillips believes that it's biblical to immerse, biblical immersion. And it is not covenantal baptism. It is a sign of a good conscience towards God. And it is an example of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, going down in under the water and coming back up out of the water. Larry Phillips does not believe it's biblical to be a part of any movement that ordains homosexuals or women. Larry Phillips does not believe it's biblical to be a part of any movement that exalts man and calls them their divines. Larry Phillips does not believe it's biblical to be a part of any movement that has a hierarchical order, a pecking order, as it were, that's called synods and sessions, dictating to small churches what they must do. Larry Phillips does not believe it's biblical to exalt secular education and seminaries and the fact that seminaries are not taught in the Bible. Peter did not go to seminary. John did not go to seminary. Jesus did not go to seminary. You don't have to be a Greek scholar to preach the Word of God. And you don't have to subscribe to unauthorized versions of the Bible, like the New International Version, that the editors are lesbian and homosexuals in that movement, or the American Standard Version, where you have these same seminarians that are rewriting the Bible. Believe in the I don't believe in endorsing any kind of scripture that is taken out of the trash can from Vatican, Rome. I uphold the Textus Receptus scripture. And so those are the cardinal areas. I believe also the Bible teaches that where two or three are gathered in His name, there He will be in the midst of them. And I also believe the Bible teaches in the last days that we will worship in a building not made with hands. And I don't believe that these Reformed churches that spend millions of dollars on brick and mortar and having crosses up in front of their churches and steeples. Like I've said many times, my mom used to say when I was a little boy, "This is the church, this is the steeple, open the door and see all the people." No, 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 no. That's not a church. That is nothing more than an entertainment social club. Why don't you go on and go to a country club golf course? That's what you're looking for. I don't believe that is a proper church. So I don't believe in worshiping a movement. I believe in worshiping Jesus Christ. Any other thoughts?
No.
Okay, that's my distinction of it. Father, we thank You for this discussion. We pray that You would help others to examine where they're worshiping, why they're worshiping, and how they're worshiping, and who they're endorsing and what they're endorsing. And we pray that they would get back to reading Your Word and worshiping You alone. Sola Scripture, sola gloria, and not worshiping and exalting men, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.